Hello and welcome to the No More Shame. This is my good friend David Moya here with me today, and he's here to tell us about his story about his daughter. So I'm going to turn the time over to him and allow him to share a little bit about him and his story with us.
Yeah, so David Moya, and good friends with Dylan. Junior high.
I think it was junior high. Was it choir that we
met? I was actually just thinking about that last night.
Yeah.
Choir class. I think we met in seventh grade, but I think we became friends in like eighth grade because we were in choir together.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Then like all throughout high school. So no, I'm glad we stay in contact. There's very few people that I still talk to outside of high school.
Very few people that I still want to talk to.
For real. I just can talk a little bit about my situation with my daughter Ella and everything that happened with that. So. Man, I was 17 when Ella was born. So I was 16 when her mom got pregnant.
Yeah.
And being 16 and having a kid, man, like that's scary. So I think the furthest memory back that I can think of. So like me and her mom were together for a minute. I think we were together for close to a year, not exactly a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were having a fight too. Like that was the awkward part, is that we were having a fight, and I'm pretty sure that we were like on the verge of breaking up.
Yeah.
And then she showed up at my house with her friend, and I was thinking like, oh, she's gonna come back, we're gonna make up. Like, no, she's crying, and I'm trying to comfort her, and I don't know what's going on. And she's crying, and she puts her hand out, and I put my hand out, and she drops like three tests in my hand, and they're all positive, but they're all like Dollar Tree tests. So I'm not sold. That's the other thing too, is that like I couldn't accept that I was going to be a dad until my daughter was actually born.
Oh, and so then I was actually like
even after, like even when she had the belly, I was like, ah, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, it was just hard to like comprehend, you know, because you're 16, you don't expect to be having a kid in high school. I should be worrying about high school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was petrified. It wasn't until like I held my daughter that I was like, this is a real thing. I was like, this is happening. So anyways, so she gave me these tests, and I was such a jerk. I wasn't mean. I have a really bad tendency of trying to create comedy in uncomfortable situations. You do that too?
Yeah, I do it too.
Yeah.
Sometimes it backfires.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. And I'm still a big Family Guy fan. And I saw something that Peter said on the show, and so I had to repeat it. I know. Like, why would I quote Family Guy right now? So she gives me these tests, and the first thing I say is, how could you do this to us? She's so upset, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. It's just a joke. I promise. Like, I'm sorry. Let's figure this out. So, we told a handful of people, and we tried to get as much help and support as we could. When it came down to my parents, so I think both her parents and my parents found out at the same time.
Okay.
Well, my mom at least, because my parents are separated, right? My parents are divorced, and so my dad lives in California, my mom was living here, and so like I had to figure out sometime, some way. I avoided forever to not tell my dad, but I had to tell my mom. And man, I think so. The way that it happened was that we were keeping it a secret. Me and her mom, me and my daughter's mom. We were keeping it a secret for as long as we could, because we just didn't know what was going to happen. Because especially because she was so young, like we didn't even know if she might miscarry or something. You know, like we just didn't know what we were supposed to do and what was supposed to happen. So we were kind of waiting to see. We were waiting as long as we could to see what we could do or what was going to happen. So I think that her dad would get in her Facebook, and that's how he found out, because we were messaging each other about it.
Aww.
And she was at my house, and she like messaged him. He messaged her and is like, are you pregnant? And she, you know, she's like, I gotta go. So her dad came and picked her up. And I think my mom just picked up on everything. Like she was, I don't know if she heard something, but I think she just knew exactly what was happening. And so she like called me into her room, and she's like, is she pregnant? And I was like, yeah. And I'm pretty, that was, I think that was the first and only time I really feared my mom, because, you know, like, she's like, you know, you've seen my mom. She's like a short little high-pitched voice lady, you know, like, she's this sweet little thing, right?
Yeah.
But, man, like, if it wasn't for her husband, like, holding her back, I'm pretty sure she would have ripped me apart. Because she was, like, yeah. So, so after that, like, it was actually really weird, too, because her family were going to Disneyland that weekend for spring break. And so now her family knows about this thing, and they're trying to have a good time, and they're like, can't ride the rides. It's too risky. It was just such an awkward situation. So she, let me get a little bit into my, how my parents handled it, because I don't know too much about how her parents handled her. But
yeah,
my parents, like my mom, she came about it in a very, she was very mad, of course. She was very upset. But I think that my mom eventually figured out that this is a very scary situation for me to be in, and she needs to love me as much as she can and show me support, because she doesn't want to drive me away from this. Which I was a very emotional kid. Like, you probably didn't know that too much, because you only really saw me in school and occasionally when we hung out. I was a highly emotional kid. Like, I would even consider myself very, very suicidal. Like, I was a very emotional kid, and a lot of it came from my mom's ex-husband. Like, he just did a lot of emotional damage to me and my family. But I mean, anyways, so my mom understood that I needed somebody there for me. You know, I could not do this on my own. So she went from being very angry to not supportive, but I mean, like, it's what's done is done. The best that she can do is be supportive, because she doesn't support what I did. She's not like, good job, you know, but she's just like, it is what it is. Let's make the best of this. And help me. She helped me so much with Ella. My dad, on the other hand, I mean, he lived in California, and he, when I had to call him on the phone and tell him, I was like, I'm going to be a dad. And he says, stop wasting my time. I'm like, I'm not wasting your time. I'm like, I'm for real. And he's like, don't ever call me like this, telling me something like this again. Okay. You're wasting my time. And I was like, Papa, I'm serious. And he was silent, and I don't even remember what happened after that. I just remember just fear, terror, because I was always afraid of my dad, because my dad is he was a very firm hand, let's just say that, overly firm hand in the house. And so a lot of things that happened. But I, you know, he was kind of the same way, but it took him a lot longer. You know, it took him a lot longer to finally, I don't even think he was very kind to me until like a month before Ella was born. He was very angry and aggressive, and I thank goodness he lived in California.
Yeah.
Because I did not want to deal with that. He also had this belief that that if he lived in Utah and I like we lived with him, that this never would have happened. I'm like, that's not true. It would have happened. We're teenagers. We're going to figure it out. He's like, no, you would have been locked in our house. And I'm like, that's just inhumane. You can't do that. I would still figure out a way to get out. Anyways, so me and the mom, we tried everything to figure out what's going on. We tried to keep it as much of a secret as possible. And, but I mean, eventually, you know, I had to get out there. And so she was 15 at the time. So I can't, so I'm 16. I can't imagine how she's feeling. Cause she was a sophomore when she got pregnant. So she gave birth her junior year and then had to finish her junior year and do her senior year with a kid. So I was already halfway through my junior year. And so I can't imagine just her situation, you know? And again, like I said, I was a very emotional kid. And so I very much craved her attention. And I felt like I needed like, I don't know. I felt like I was obsessed with her. Like, I just needed her all the time, everywhere. And it got even worse when she was pregnant, because the idea of having a kid, I loved it. You know, ever since I was like 13, I loved it. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't get pregnant on purpose. But like,
yeah.
I couldn't wait to be a dad just because I feel like there were so many things that my parents did and my mom's ex-husbands did that I could do better. And I always wanted to do better. And so that's why I just could not wait to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is, but, so I'm trying to think where to pick up now because so much happened. So basically we tried to make things work, after, Ella was born, me and her mom. Oh, when Ella was born, that was crazy. Yeah. I'll get into that real quick because it was like 3 a.m. and I was getting a call and her mom was like, things are happening. We're going to the hospital. Stand by because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm like, okay. And then I got another call like an hour or two later, like, hey, we're having a baby. So I had to wake up my parents, like, we got to go. So I woke up my mom and her husband at the time. And so we got to the hospital and everything just happened so fast. Like, I felt like, I mean, we were at the hospital for a few days. But I feel like from the moment I got there till Ella was born till we were like in the room and everything was settled, everything just felt like it happened within the span of like an hour. You know, it was happening so quick. So I was in there with her when she gave birth, and surprisingly, she had from what she told me, from what I understood about pregnancy, she had a pretty easy birthing process. In fact, the doctor told us that Ella did most of the work. So she's like, she wanted out. I'm like, I get it, you know. And I think she was in labor for about 8 hours. And I mean, and then my baby was here. And I remember like holding my baby and just like promising her all these things. Because again, like it went back to like what I wanted to do as a parent versus what my parents were like. I want to do so much better. And so like I made all these promises to her and you know, like I told her like I would be at anything she was at, you know, cause that was an issue I had with my dad was that I wrestled, you know, throughout junior high and high school. And my dad came to like one match and he just never cared about wrestling. My mom came to all of them. So that was like some contention I had. And so that was like something I promised my daughter was like, I'm going to be at like anything that you want to do. And whatever you want to do, just be the best at it. And just like other things like that. Like it was a very beautiful moment. And so I stayed at the hospital with her mom and her for, I think we were there for about 2 days. And then we went home and we were together for a while and we were trying to get life together. I mean, like I said, I was finishing up my junior year. I just came off a really great wrestling season and we just didn't know what was going to happen now. So I was working at the movie theater, making minimum wage as a 17-year-old father. And, I mean, it was ridiculous. The most important thing for my mom, though, was that I graduated high school, and I completely agreed with her. I was like, yeah, I need to graduate high school. So my senior year, I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but I don't know why. I was trying to do many things. I was trying to go to school. I was trying to graduate. You know, I was trying to take care of my baby. I was trying to wrestle because it was very important to me. And I did somewhat, but not a lot. I did not nearly as good as I did the year before. And I was also trying to still be a teenager. But then I also tried doing debate and still trying to do choir. No sense. It made no sense. I eventually ditched debate. You know, like I was like, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't be making these tournaments or whatever. And then I just like was like, I came to choir class, but I never did the performances. I think I did like 4. And I was like in the all men show choir.
Oh,
so like the ones where you're like for dedicated people. Like I was in that and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life right now. I got a baby. So luckily, like a lot of the teachers were very understanding and my coaches were very understanding. And it was weird because I'm sure I got a lot of scrutiny from people at our school. I'm sure that a lot of people said a lot of horrible things. I even heard people say a lot of terrible things. Any time that somebody tried, or I heard somebody badmouth her mom, though, like we're not having that. Like I immediately shut that down because I'm like, you don't know what she's going through. Like you don't know what's happening. Like, you don't know anything about the situation. You know, like, I heard a girl in my English class were like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, she's pregnant. Like, can you believe that? I just never thought she was that kind of person. I'm like, well, like, what? What kind of person is she? I, like, called her out. I'm like, no, like, don't say things like that because you don't know anything about the situation. I was always very defensive about them because in my point of view, that was my family, and no one was going to disrespect my family. So me and her mom didn't work out. Like, we tried for a little while. She eventually wanted to keep Ella from me. She made some accusations about me that were just false. Like, I love my daughter, and I love my daughter so much today. There's plenty of pictures and video of just me and my daughter playing and being together. There's this picture that I post, like, all the time, and it was this moment that I had where her mom brought her over, and she was in the car seat, and she had the cover, you know, over the car seat. And they came down to my room, and I lifted it up, and she looked at me, and she just smiled. The biggest smile ever. And she was, like, 2 or 3 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she
yeah.
wasn't very old. And she was just smiling at me. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, why are you smiling at me so big? And so, like, I unbuckled her, and I picked her up, and I sat her down. And so she was, like, right here. And she just would not stop looking at me. And she would not stop smiling. And I was just like, this baby. It's like, this baby, man. So, like, we just had this connection. Like, me and Ella were super close, and we very much had a connection. And, you know, like, I would go to pick her up because her mom was going to a school that offered, that helped out pregnant teens. And so she was going to a school that actually offered, like, I think free daycare. So, I would go pick her up occasionally. Like, we would discuss, you know, transportation. At this point, we were broken up. I mean, I was still trying to do whatever I could to be with her, but we were broken up. And
yeah.
She didn't want to be together anymore. And that was fine. Like, I wanted to make things work. I wanted to be with her, but ultimately it's her decision. So anyways, I would go pick up my daughter, though, from daycare. And I'd walk in, and she wouldn't see me. And she'd just be, like, playing and doing her thing. And I used to call her Chanchita because people in high school call me Chancho. Right? You know what Chancho is?
Yeah.
From Nacho Libre?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kids, I used to get teased, and they used to call me Chancho, which is a little fat pig in Spanish. And so I used to call Ella Chanchita. So she was my Chanchita. She was my little fat piglet. And so I'd walk in, and she'd be playing. I'd be like, psst, Chanchita. And she would look at me, and then she would just crawl as fast as she can. And she'd be like, so she'd go up to me, and I'd pick her up, and I'd hold her, and, like, we had a lot of moments like that. It was great. I tried to introduce her to wrestling and superheroes and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I loved teaching her. Like, I was teaching her to, like, go up the stairs, crawl up the stairs. I'd teach her how to walk by giving her a stroller. I'd give her stroller to push. So she would stand, and she'd hold her stroller, and she would push her stroller. And that's how we got, like, walking going. And, you know, counting and colors, just baby things. You know, like, I love to teach her. I love to teach her everything. So, at this point now, her mom was like, you can't see Ella anymore. And I was just in shock. I just didn't get it. You know, and I found this out because I was trying to get a house, or not a house, I was trying to get an apartment, and I was trying to get on housing, and I needed her birth certificate, Ella's birth certificate, so that I could prove that she was my daughter and she was living with me, or she would be living with me. So, so I went to her mom, and I'm like, hey, I need a copy of Ella's birth certificate, so that I can present it and you know, try to get this housing going. And she's like, well, it's not going to do you any good. And I'm like, why not? She's like, well, because your name's not on it. I was like, oh, well, let's go get it fixed. Like, I'm obviously her dad, so let's go get it fixed. She's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, why not? She's like, I just don't think you're a good dad. I don't think that you need to be in Ella's life. And I was like, okay, you're probably going through some things. Like, I always read about postpartum. So I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to give you some space. You know, like, I'm going to, hold on to Ella. I'm going to give you some space because I don't know how to deal with this right now. So I'm going to let you guys do your thing for a little while. So I think it was for, like, maybe a month or two that I didn't see Ella. And then her mom wanted to start doing, you know, like supervised visitation. And there was no, like, there was no agreements. Like, that's the thing too, is that we were very much just trying to do this on our own because we realized that, like, I think we both thought that we could, and that if we tried to get lawyers involved, it would just be a waste, huge waste of money because we got along at the time. But eventually she was like, I don't want you around Ella. I don't think you're good for her. I feel like you're going to hurt her someday, which is, I didn't get because I wasn't a very aggressive person. She was worried about me harming Ella sexually, which I didn't get either. I didn't understand that, especially because I guess Ella got a UTI at one point, and so her mom's immediate instinct was that I did something. And then it was funny because, like, 5 months later, literally, or maybe a year later, there was, like, a news article saying that diapers had been giving babies UTIs. I'm like, for real? Like, this is how it's going to be? Anyways, so she had all these fears that I was going to do something to Ella, and I would never, ever do something like that to her or anybody else. And so I was like, all right, like, this is how it's going to be. So I filed papers. I got a lawyer, and I was trying to get custody of my daughter. The problem was that at the same time, my mom was going through a divorce with her husband, and we were living with her husband, and they were getting a divorce, and my mom was like, I can't stay here. I've got to go. I'm living in Salt Lake, and I'm like, I can't. I need to stay here. I need to work. I need to earn money. I need to try to get Ella back. My job's here, and she wasn't working, and so I was begging her. I was pleading her, like, please stay here. Like, let's get a place together. Me, you, and my brothers can all live together. Like, we'll split the rent. You can get a job. And she was like, I don't want to do that. And she's like, I don't want to get a job. And I was like, all right. And I had no transportation. I had no home at that point. I was still living with her ex-husband, trying to find an apartment. I was trying to take care of myself.
So after your mom moved out already, you were still with her ex-husband?
Yeah, I lived with her ex. Her ex-husband was awesome. Like, he was probably her best husband. He was great. He was awesome. And he understood the situation, and he let me stay with him, I think, for like 3 or 4 more months after she moved out. So that was really great. But eventually he was like, you've got to move out, man. And I was like, yeah, I get it. So yeah, I'm trying to get a place to live. I don't have any transportation. I literally rode a bike everywhere, and I took the bus everywhere, and I walked everywhere. I was trying to take care of myself, you know, basic necessities. I was trying to eat, you know. Luckily, I worked at Chili's at the time. No, I did not work at Chili's at the time. I think I got that job later. But I was building awnings. That's what I was doing. I was building awnings, but then I eventually went to Chili's. And that helped out a lot because I got a free meal every day. So that helped out a lot. But I just hit rock bottom. Like, I had nothing. I was trying to pay for this lawyer. I had no money, like, I had no means to take care of Ella. Like, I had nothing. And her family, or the mom's family, are very wealthy people. And I never once was worried about Ella being with them, because I know that they were good people, and I know they're going to take care of Ella. Like, that's one thing I always knew was going to be okay, that they're going to take care of Ella. So I was never really worried about that, but I had no means to take care of Ella myself, and I knew that. So eventually they came up with the proposition to give full custody to the parents, to Ella's grandparents, to give custody of Ella to the grandparents. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You know, I wouldn't see her, but I was kind of like, if I can't have her, then her mom shouldn't have her. But I understand that Ella still needs a mom. And so, I was hoping that it would work out fine like that. I was hoping that, like, the grandparents would get custody and then we could somehow figure something out. But they were like, no, we're not going to do that. So that didn't work out. And then I already signed my rights away. So I was just kind of screwed. and it all got manipulated because eventually her mom, my daughter's mom, got remarried. And then they actually took custody of Ella back. And so now she doesn't even have my last name. She has this guy's last name. So I understood that I got manipulated into the situation, and the whole situation was just got turned upside down. At that point, I was just like, I don't care anymore. Like I literally was just at the lowest. I became very cold. I was very emotionless. Thing that I wanted to do was coach wrestling at work. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I did. And it was when I was living with the ex-husband. He lived in Clinton, and I started working at the Chili's in Layton. And I had no transportation, so I rode my bike. So I would try to take the bus and during the day, but at night, because I would work until midnight. So there's no buses out. Mm-hmm. So I had to ride my bike all the way from Layton to Clinton, like every day. I was in real good shape. So, yeah, man, I gotta say thank you to the people that helped me at that time, which is like my coaches. So they were my coaches at the beginning, and then they became my closest friends because we were coaching together, and they would let me stay with them. Like if we had tournaments and we had to go back to the tournament, instead of taking me all the way back to Clinton, I would just stay with them. You know, like they very much gave me a place to stay when I needed it, food to eat when I needed it, you know, like anything I need, they were always there for me. And especially, you remember Landon, my friend Landon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that guy saved my life, him and his whole family too. Like they did a lot for me, and he served his mission too, at the time that all this happened, but we would email each other every week. And, it was funny because when he came back, he told me that when I told him the situation about what was going on with Ella, that he was like in a little, because he went to Guatemala, so he was like in a little cafe, like reading this, and he was like losing his mind. He was like so mad. He was like wanting to like destroy things. And his companion was like, hey, like it's cool. Like you're fine. You're good. And it affected a lot of people. Like my mom was an emotional wreck. You know, she loved Ella so much. And she helped me so much to take care of Ella. So I was just at the lowest of the low. And I just didn't know what to do with my life anymore. Like I had no purpose. I was very cold, like I said. Like I used to cry a lot. Like, you know, I said I was very emotional. And I stopped crying. Like I didn't cry for like 2 years. Like I never cried after I lost Ella. Because I was like all my tears are gone. Like I got no more tears to give. So, it wasn't until I met my wife, Abby, and, like I was dating, but I wasn't adamant about like being with somebody, but she just wouldn't leave me alone. She kept coming over and spending time with me. And I love that. I love that there was somebody that was investing their time into me and they wanted to be with me. And I love that. And so I eventually got to the point where I was like, well, we're just friends right now, to like, nah, I actually really like you. And I always tell her to this day, we always joke because she's like, man, you're a jerk. Cause I was so cold, man. Like I had like no emotions. And she's like, but you know, like I gave you a shot. And so I always tell her all the time, I'm like, thank you for like believing in me, because like the guy that I was then, like I wouldn't want to be with that guy. So yeah. I was told, like, she defrosted me because I was just cold, man. And she helped me out a lot. And so now that everything is set and done, you know, the only things that I like to do for Ella is her birthday is November 11th. So every year I'll take her present. Like I'll buy her something. I'll wrap it up, or I'll take a picture of me with it, because that's the other thing too, is that I want to show proof, and I want to show, Ella that we were together, that me and her mom were together, and that I was involved in Ella's life, that we had a connection. I think her mom made a very terrible decision, because when we did break up, I'm sure you did this in high school too. You like hand each other letters. You write letters, fold them up, give them to your friend or somebody that you liked, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We did that all the time. Like we'd meet each other in the middle of class. We give each other letters. So she kept all of her letters. I kept all my letters. And then when we broke up, she gave me all those letters. And I still have all of those letters that I wrote her and that she wrote me. And I keep them. I've kept almost everything that her mom gave me or I gave her, because it's proof. I want to show Ella like me at one point, me and your mom did not hate each other. Like we loved each other, and you were not, like, you got to know that, like, you weren't born into a hateful relationship. We loved each other, but people change. So I'm very intent on keeping all that stuff for Ella. And I take pictures every year of me holding a gift, and then me, or not me, but a friend or my wife will drop off the gift at the family's house. And I have no intention of trying to go after Ella. I have no intention of trying to make her family's life miserable. Like I very much keep distance between me and her family, and it's not because like I don't want Ella. I want Ella. If her mom came to me today and she's like, "Do you want to see your daughter?" I'd be like, "Yeah, let me see my daughter." But it's because like growing up, I grew up with parents that were separated, that were divorced, and they very much used me and my brothers as tactics against each other. You know, and I didn't want to put Ella in that situation. Like, I think that was a struggle that me and my brothers had growing up, is that we struggled going between both parents. And the thing is that, like, her mom thought that, she's like, "Well, if you went through that, you don't want to put Ella through that." I was like, "Well, of course not, but it's completely different, because I'm not trying to be hateful towards you. Like, my parents are, like, hateful towards each other." And I'm like, "I'm not trying to, like, we can do this differently. We can do this better. Like, we don't have to get lawyers involved. We don't have to fight. We don't have to do any of this. We can do this very civilly." back to where I am now. But I just keep a healthy distance. She's 7 now. I can't believe I have a 7-year-old. But she's 7 years old now. And I just want her to live her best life. Like, she shouldn't be worrying about things like this. She shouldn't be worrying about her parents fighting or who said what or who did what to who. She should be worrying about kids' stuff. She should be worrying about what she's going to have for breakfast and what she's going to have for lunch. Like, she should be finger painting, you know what I mean? Like, she shouldn't be worrying about these types of things. And so I just want her to live her life. And if she ever decides to come and look for me, then I'm going to be here with open arms, because both me and my wife love her so much, and I'm always going to be here with open arms for her. She's going to have a family that misses her and loves her, and I can't wait to have babies with my wife. I can't wait to have more kids, because she's just going to have siblings that are going to know all about her and know who she is, and they're going to be ready to love her too. So, you know, like, if she ever sees this, then she needs to know that she has a family, a whole nother family that's waiting for her and ready to love her. And so I just can't wait for that moment. If she finds me before then that's great. But I don't hate the mom either. Like, I don't hate my daughter's mom.
Yeah.
I understand a lot of things about what went on with that relationship. Like I said, I was a highly, highly emotional kid. And she was dealing with a lot. And so I don't blame her why she left me. Like, I don't. Like, I understand. But I don't hate her. Like, I wish the best for her. I wish the best for her husband. She just had her third child. So, including Ella, she got married, she had a child, and then she had another child. And so now Ella has, like, 2 siblings. I think that's awesome. Like, I think that's great. You know, like, I have no intention of bothering them. I just want them to live their life. And I'm going to live my life. And when the day comes that I get to be with Ella again, then I will. And I'll do everything I can to help her then. So, that's basically the gist of it. I'm in a much better place now. Like, I work for JJS. I call them JV criminals. You know, because there's the varsity team and then there's the JV team.
Yeah.
So I call them JV criminals. They're just, you know, they're kids with violent offenses, and I work with them. And I mean, it's great. Like, I mean, everything. Considering what I went through, I'm handling things a lot better. You know,
yeah.
Like, I used to get really emotional every year around her birthday. It's not really like that anymore. You know, now I remember all the great times that I had with her, because she, like, for the time, I think I had her until, like, she was with me until she was about 2. And then that's when her mom was like, "You can't see her anymore." And, but man, like, we had so many good memories. And I don't think I ever really doubted that she was my kid. But there were some people, like after her mom was doing what she was doing, that were like, "Would, like, are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's my kid. Like, she looks like me." And then there was one day where I was, like, we were spending time together, and I was, like, sitting on the couch, and she was playing, and I put on, like, Frozen, like, music or something like that. I was playing, like, Disney songs, and she wasn't really doing much. And then I put on, and I was like, she's not really reacting to this. So I put on LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, and she was just dancing. And I was like, that's my kid. That's my baby. So, like, I was like, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
No, but she, I mean, when she, right now, like, I've seen pictures of her recently, and she looks so much like her mom. But when she was a baby, she looked just like me. Like, she looked so much like me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that more of me will come out of her when she gets older. But, yeah, I mean, I just can't wait for that day that that we meet again. So, I cope with it fine, and I cope with it with a much better way than I did now. And again, I had like so many people supporting me and helping me. I had so many people that were there for me, you know, the coaches that I coached with, and, you know, Landon was a big help, and Abby, huge help, because she really defrosted me. But, I actually kind of want to ask you, what was your perspective when we were in high school, when you heard about it, that I was going to have a kid? Because I've heard like a few people's, but like, even though we were friends, you were definitely part of a different friend group than I was most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know what, and you could be honest with me, even if it's harsh, like, I'm just curious what your guys' perspective.
So, you know, I don't know if you remember when I used to say this to you, and this goes back to the whole making jokes in situations like that.
Yeah.
I remember I used to sometimes be like, hey, Moya, don't ever have sex. But if you do, make sure you wear protection.
I remember that, yeah.
And somebody told me that the mom was pregnant. I was like, man, after telling that kid so many times, he went ahead and like, he didn't even listen to me.
Yeah,
and who I told it to was like, so like, shocked and offended, like, that's how you're taking this. And I had to text him, was like listen, like, honestly, like, I really feel for him. That's gotta be a huge shock, and like, I can't believe it's happening to him. But like, I used to say to him all the time, like,
I tried to help him.
Yeah, I tried my best.
Gosh, yeah, no, I mean, I remember that. And I remember that because before I met my daughter's mom, I was dating that girl for like 2 years, remember?
Yeah.
And I remember you saying that because we were dating for so long, and I was just like, man, like, stop, like, I don't even know. But like, yeah, no, I do remember you saying,
okay, so I know that you said in high school you talked about Ella's mom was kind of picked on her, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
People would say things about her, but with for you, did anyone say anything about you or to ever do your face that you know of?
No, not so much. It was mostly her, which I feel bad about, but I mean, it's just one of those, it's kind of a stigma that I feel like females get more scrutinized for that than others. It's rough. But I mean, I always tried to defend her. I like, no one ever said, I think that too many people knew that I would defend her and I would get really defensive, and that's why nobody really said anything around me or to me. I had a lot of support from my friends, a lot of people I feel like who were not even rooting for her, but rooting for, or not me, I mean, sorry, people that were rooting for both of us, you know, that to make this work, to make it happen, because, you know, I think a lot of people believe that if there's one couple that could make this successful, it would be us. I mean, in the end, like, it didn't work out, and that's fine, you know, it is what it is, but, I mean, yeah, I think it affected her a lot more than it affected me. I think that I definitely, I don't know. I definitely didn't take as much as she did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, this is something that happens. It probably happens more than you'd think. A lot of people in high school getting pregnant. I mean, personally, like, you're the only one I know, but there's a lot of people that it happens to.
Sure.
So, for you, what advice would you give to somebody else who is in that same situation as you are?
Yeah.
Or you were in?
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually funny that you bring that up too, because there was a kid when I was a senior who was a sophomore, and we had the same class together, and he actually came up to me, like we met in the bathroom or something like that on accident, and he came up to me and he's like, hey, I'm actually going to be in the same situation that you're in. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, my girlfriend's pregnant. And I was like, no, that's a bad idea. You should not be happy about this.
I mean, so he was just like, hey, like,
well, I think that he was probably in the same situation that I was, where I'm just kind of trying to play it off. I'm just kind of like,
just,
yeah, it's
him at the best, trying to make it better than
he is. And I'm like, no, like, just because this happened doesn't mean I encourage it, you know, like, that doesn't mean that everyone should be doing this, but I'm just saying, like, but basically, I mean, what I told him was, like, just don't stop, like, don't stop what you're doing, like, don't, like, you're gonna feel like your world is caving in on you, and you're gonna feel all of this weight on top of you, and all this pressure, and you've got to figure out how to lift that up. And I think a lot of it comes with a good support group. And that's something that I actually encourage kids to do in general. I tell it to the kids that I work with all the time, the juveniles, because they'll be telling me something like, oh, me and my friend did this, and it's something criminal. You know, it's something bad that they did. Like, oh, me and my friend did this, and it was awesome. And I was like, no, you need to pick better friends. You need to surround yourself with better people. And that's a big piece of advice, is like, it's all about the people you surround yourself with. So for me, it was the coaches, you know. For me, it was Landon, and it was people like that.
Yeah.
I surrounded myself with good people that were encouraging and were helpful. And that's the thing too, is that some people might think that like, when you're in this situation, you're on your own, and you're not, you know, like, you can seek help from the people around you. And if those people truly love you, and they want to help, then they're going to help you. And if they don't, then you need to rethink who you're spending your time with. Because, you know, like, I invested a lot of my time with the guys I coached with, and I don't regret it for one minute. I wouldn't be where I am without those people. Without them, without Landon, without Abby, I wouldn't be where I am without those people. And there was plenty of people that I spent time with that were not good influences for me, and I cut them out immediately, because what were they bringing to the table for me? Like, what were they doing to help me, and what was I doing to help them most of all? You know, like, how,
yeah,
like, what was I bringing in for them? So, I mean, I think the number one thing is, if you're a teenager and you're in high school and you have a kid, graduate. Please graduate, even if you make it by the skin of your teeth. Like, you know, and that's how I felt. Is like, I felt like I barely made it out, but I still got my diploma, you know. And so that's the most important part. As far as, like, somebody in some, and this probably doesn't happen as often, but somebody that might be in a situation where I am, where, you know, there's an injustice made, where you can't see your child anymore. The best piece of advice I would give for something like that is to not give up on your child, because your child didn't give up on you. It's just the circumstances. Like, I know that. So no, I know that none of this has to do with Ella. You know, all of this has to do between me and her mom, and the kind of people that we are.
Because she, obviously, she didn't make the decision to have this happen.
Ella.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ella didn't make the decision.
No, she was put in the situation.
Exactly.
She was put in this situation, and there's something that I've learned, is when you have a child, I mean, I know this would be great advice for you, but my point of view is that it is hard to be a parent, but it's not as hard as if you think of it like this. Just show up. Like, that's it. Just show up. Because if you show up, you're going to do what you need to do. So that's always, like, my point of view is, like, even though I can't obviously show up, I still do what I can to show up. I still get her a gift. I still, I'm going to be writing a journal, actually, to her. And I'm going to write, like, my life experiences and things that I've learned. Because I feel like she's 7. She's going to be a teenager in a couple years. And she's just going to go through a lot of things that I feel like a teenager would need to hear. And even though I can't give it to her, I want to give it to her someday. And just, like, just have things that, like, I went through and things that I learned. And big moments in my life, like, I talk about how I got married and when I have my baby, another baby, and all of that. Like, I just don't stop trying. Like, you need to continuously keep trying and make that effort, because that's, in the end, that's all they're going to appreciate. You know, like, you know, Ella's family can say what they want about me and make claims or tell her whatever it is. And even when it comes to the gifts that I send her every year, they can do whatever they want with the gifts. I don't care. It's the effort, right? It's the fact that I'm trying and I'm putting myself out there. For all I know, they throw the gifts away. They give them to other kids. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they do with them. If they give them to her, then great. I'm happy. But if they don't, then that's fine too. But it's all about the effort. It's all about trying. And just don't stop trying. Don't give up on your education. You need to work hard. You know, like, you put yourself in this situation. You need to thrive in this situation. You can't stop moving. That's something that I learned in wrestling, is that they always yelled at us that to not stop moving. Because once we stop moving, we're basically a sitting duck. You know, like, once we stop moving, we, you know, like, we're kind of screwed at that point. So in wrestling, they always yell, like, don't stop moving. And even me coaching, I yell that to tell the kids to not stop moving. And that's kind of how I applied wrestling to my life, yeah, is to not stop moving. In the moment, because that's what happened after I lost custody, is I stopped moving. And I just became emotionless and I lost. So, yeah, you just got to keep trying. And even if you lose and you lose custody and all that happens, you've got to keep trying. You've got to show that kid that, whether it's now or later, that you love them.
Yeah.
And that's it, man. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Just keep trying.
You've got to keep going. Don't stop moving. Especially when you have a kid right now.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, you can't stop moving at all. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But I mean, luckily you got like an awesome wife who's gonna help you out, man. And I can't wait till I have another kid, because I got an awesome wife that's gonna help me out.
Probably will be cool.
Yeah,
she'll rock it.
I agree.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming out and telling your story, man. And
yeah,
it's been great to have you here, and I'm glad we were able to take time for this. So
yeah, let's do it again.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for watching. If you haven't yet, subscribe at the bottom. If you have any questions for Moya, do you have like a way that you think can maybe like an Instagram or something?
Yeah,
or?
You can always put like my email in the comments.
Okay.
Or in the description.
In the description.
Yeah, you can put my email or even they can just comment and then you can let me know.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll attach his email, or if you want to just make a comment below and he'll be able to reach back out to you.
Sure.
So take care, and we'll see y'all later.